The stench was so utterly horrid that it seemed to be attacking him. It was the putrid stink of rot and of food gone bad. It was an unholy soup of dozens of odors that each would have been bad enough alone, but which seemed to clash in revolting and impossible ways when forced together. Panic squeezed his heart to near bursting as he realized he was drowning in this noxious cloud. He fought desperately to take a breath, but this act was somehow impossible. It was as though he had forgotten how, as if the mental wiring that triggered his breathing response had been neatly snipped. His burning lungs screamed at him for air, and he knew he had but seconds to live. Suddenly, from the depths of his panic, an epiphany burst forth. He wasn't drowning. Instead, he was in the middle of a terrible nightmare, and his breathing reflex was only failing in the vivid dream world his mind had constructed. His physical body was asleep and paralyzed. He threw all of his will into tearing off the crushingly heavy cloak of unconsciousness, and an instant later his full mind exploded to the surface. Like a swimmer held down too long in the depths of a cold and murky ocean, and escaping just in time. Now fully conscious, albeit groggy, he felt the weight of eyelids that were shuttering his vision. He heard whispers in his mind, dozens of them. He could catch words and phrases, images, a kaleidoscope of activity just below the surface, blending together into a white noise, incessant chatter from hundreds of non-stop talkers all speaking at once. He shook his head to try to stop the maddening whispers in his mind, but without success. He anxiously opened his eyes and was greeted by an absolute, impenetrable darkness. Fighting off the panic that now returned with a vengeance, he carefully extended his right arm and was rewarded when his hand made contact with a smooth surface that felt like steel. He continued to probe his surroundings, and seconds later, his hand came into contact with yet another surface over his head, a roof, one made of steel, like the wall he had found. The roof was heavy, but by raising both hands above his shoulders, he was able to push it upward, flooding his prison with blinding light. He continued pushing until he hit a literal tipping point, and the roof fell downward as if on a hinge, slamming into the side of the metal container noisily. Even before his eyes fully adjusted to the light, he could see he was in a living sea of garbage that filled about half of the large container, which was painted a familiar shade of green. He was inside a dumpster. The sight of the nasty garbage, along with the smell, forced him to do what his unconscious body had managed to avoid until this point. He leaned over and vomited, although his stomach must have been nearly empty because it was more of a dry heave than anything else. He peeked his head over the top of the industrial-sized container, his eyes now fully adjusted to the light. He was in the back of what appeared to be a strip mall, and judging from the garbage he had been sitting in, one whose retail tenants included grocery stores, butcher shops, restaurants, and most unholy of all, diaper-changing stations. He climbed out of the container and inspected himself. He had sneakers on his feet and was wearing a black t-shirt and faded jeans. He was painted head to toe with stains and fluids of unknown kinds, including one that may well have been blood. What had he been doing in a dumpster? He searched his memory and found nothing. How drunk did one have to be to not remember spending a night in a garbage-filled coffin? He gasped as a deeper truth penetrated his mind. He couldn't remember anything. Not only didn't he know how he had come to be in a dumpster, he didn't know how he had come to be on this earth. He strained to at least remember his own name, but it wouldn't come. He checked his pockets, but found no wallet or other identification. What was going on? His heart rate leaped to well over 100 beats per minute, and he felt dizzy from the shock and adrenaline rush. He had to calm down. He had to think. But he found it hard to concentrate. The whispers and images in his mind continued unabated, and he couldn't imagine anything being more disconcerting or inimical to organized thought. He couldn't seem to get them to stop, although he was at least able to suppress them somewhat.